Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The podcast from Drew and Mike is, I think it's really cool, and that is what I wanted to say.
Two and Mike.
Democracy as an academic interest or conceptual pursuit is a fascinating battlefield of vague definitions. It is possible that many have produced what they would argue was a clear and concise definition, but if that definition takes an entire book, we might need to discuss what people consider is concise. It is true that most political scientists would argue that for any reasonably applicable definition of democracy, certain words need to play a significant role. These words would include representation, majority decision-making, participation, rule of law applied equally, minority protections, the guarantee of certain civil liberties such as freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, and the rights to protest and congregate. However, there are problems with democracy. These problems remain unresolved. Why? Significant proportions of the electorate, of society, remain underrepresented. Their rights, though often significantly developed in statute and in common law, remain unenforced and disregarded. Equality is nothing more than a soundbite when considering race, gender, sexuality, and class. Access to essential health services, a convincing level of education, opportunities for career enhancement, the chance to hold hands with your loved ones without fear of persecution. These remain unattainable dreams for so many people, and yet so many of us listening to this now live in a country which is considered to be a democracy. Vladdy and I begin our series on democracy here. What will follow, nobody can predict, but it is a start. Thank you, Vlad, for your wonderful insight.
Vladimir, it's brilliant to have you back on, especially as it's such a sort of last minute improvised session. But I love talking with you. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation, and very happy to be here. It's always a pleasure to be your guest.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's also quite funny is because you are always like, hey, come over, you don't need an invitation, and so on. And your friendly approach to life is very much something which I find intriguing and catching. And so therefore, I welcome the mode in which you like to live. It's great, refreshing.
Cool.
So today we're going to talk about democracy. We're going to kind of jump in. We're not going to be able to cover every element, but I think it's just to get a bit of a sort of starter, a taster of some of our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the way we're doing it is it's a bit like two amateur musicians who go to a studio and just jam. So we're going to do like politics, verbal jamming. It's unscripted. So first of all, if I say to you, okay, Vlad, the word democracy, what does that mean for you?
Well, that's a very difficult question. So as you know, my academic background, I'm a political scientist, but I'm not working in the field anymore. So for me, this is a very complicated question because I would say at least two things. The first one is democracy as a political concept, like as a scientific concept. And that's a thing that I really like to talk about, to discuss about it and try to understand it better. And the other thing is this kind of buzzword that we are getting, I don't know, every day in the news and every day everywhere, and everybody is asking for democracy. Even if they don't know what democracy is, everybody is asking for democracy as the, I don't know, like the solution for everything. Mm. So to answer your question, democracy is for me a very difficult concept that I've been working with, well, not working with, but that I focus all my studies, five, six years long. It was all about democracy, I would say, because it was very interesting for me, but very difficult.
OK, well, let's take the scientific view, because I get the fact that what you're saying with regards to the buzzword is for general consumption. And people tend to mix up lots of different things with democracy. And economics seems to play a very big factor in democracy. But when we're talking about democracy, economics doesn't necessarily have to play such a large part. We're talking simply about the political institution of government and the system. How would you then talk about it from this more political science perspective?
Well, the thing, I think there's the people are not the problem when they are like asking for democracy. I think the origin of the problem are the political scientists and the social scientists from the past, 60 to 70 years, that in my opinion, they were very lazy when it comes to define all the things that were happening in the world. And, you know, one of my favorite political scientists, he is Giovanni Sartori. He is one of the greatest political theorists from the past century, and he was focused on all the terminology within political scientists, so like studying concepts and how to use it. And he always defined that one of the biggest challenges that we were facing within the political scientists is that we were not able to define all the phenomena that we were facing after the Second World War. So what happened is that we start doing what he called conceptual stretching or conceptual traveling. And it's that you take concepts that they were very working well in the past, and just try just to fit in all the phenomena that you are seeing now to fit in into those concepts. And that's why democracy is actually a thing that you will not find an author nowadays that can describe you what is democracy, right? And what we are doing now, it's that we have like an idea, like what is the best society that we can have. And what we are doing with all the systems that we have worldwide is to see, okay, is this democratic or not? And that could be a great idea, but the thing is that when you start defining system in terms of it is democracy or not, then you are forgetting the system itself. So you are not analyzing the system, you are not defining the system, you are not understanding the problems and the challenges of the system. So that was maybe not the answer you were expecting, but I would say democracy is a type of political system that in which people have a special power in terms of decision making, and it's just a possible system within a huge range of other possible systems.
I mean, what's quite fascinating is that we always say democracy, but that's never really what we have. Mm-hmm. We have representative democracy. We have parliamentary democracy. We don't have democracy. And I know some say, oh, yeah, here we go. But I mean, that is an important distinction, because we don't have a situation where everything we do is governed by the people, because that's just ridiculous. We've already decided that society has grown far too large for us to be able to manage it with direct democracy. We also have established the fact that most of the people do not have the knowledge capacities required to make certain kinds of decisions. So if we want to introduce, for example, new labor laws, most people don't have a clue about law, nor indeed the application of law within this sort of very specific discipline of labor and work and unionism and how companies organize themselves. And so therefore, there's very little point in having, say, I don't know, 60, 70 million people vote to do this or to that. So therefore, this is why we have a situation where people are given the right to vote every X number of years. And then after that, we essentially have a group of people who run everything.
Mm.
And that's not a democracy. That's representative democracy. There's people powering with the one in every 4 years decision of the people, but not the will of the people.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, the thing is that what are we trying to do? Are we trying to describe the system that are we having right now? Or are we trying to describe the system we would like to have? Are we trying to describe the perfect system for every single country in the world? And there are so many questions that they should be solved before starting a discussion about democracy. And that's, for example, what I'm missing in the whole debate. Mm. So, for example, for me, the big question would be for every single country, for every single system, or even a family or a group of friends, is to ask, okay, what is our main goal? What do we want to achieve? And in the case of a country, of a society, I would say the main goal should be that we can create a system in which all the members can live with a certain, I would say, amount of dignity, where people can really develop their own interest, their own personality, without being afraid of being punished for it, right? And then we can start thinking about, okay, what can we do? The thing is that we forgot all those questions, and we start with the goal is not dignity anymore. The goal is not erasing poverty anymore. The goal is democracy, right? So now it's like the main goal of a society should be democracy. That's what the impression, at least, that I get when I'm reading to the news. I mean, we are so crazy that we are even able to start a war, to start a conflict, a very violent conflict in the name of democracy. Because I think your country needs democracy, so I'm going to do everything so that you get democracy. So I'm go with my army and my drones and everything to bomb all your country, so that you can get democracy. So as you can see, the discussion is very difficult, because it's like with every single question that you ask me, like we open a new discussion. And that's the challenge, I guess, we have with all this democracy thing. And I think we should, or the best idea would be to forget the democracy and to really start or go back to the main question: what can we do so that we can assure dignity for everyone, so that we can assure that everybody can have really to live in freedom, right? And then you can see, for example, this discussion when I talk to friends and they say to me, hey, I don't like what China is doing, if I may start talking about specific countries. And I ask them, yeah, but what is your problem with China? And they say, yeah, that's not a democracy, and they have no freedom. And they start like giving me tons of arguments, very well defined. I'm not saying that are bad arguments, but then I ask them, okay, but how many people are now in China that maybe 10 years ago they were really into the most extreme poverty? And how many people now they can really go to work and they are educated and they are really having access to technology? And they say, yeah, but that's not important. They need a freedom of speech, and they need to vote, and they need to. And then I ask myself, when did all that happen? That the freedom of speech or the right to vote is more important to live with dignity, or to have food on the table every day, or to have access to technology. So that's why I'm not sure about the statement I'm about to make, but I think that democracy also made the concept made also a lot of bad things in the world during the past decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, no, absolutely. And it's interesting also the things that you bring up. Simply, democracy cannot be a goal in itself. Democracy, the way that we kind of have come to recognize it is a system which develops, we work towards, and then it is created naturally through the political engagement of not only the masses, but also the political elites. As you say, though, you've got to start with, in some ways, as it were, a kind of a hierarchy of need. What is it that we need? And then after that, what is it that we want? And what you're saying to me is that, for example, and you know, I'm not suggesting that China is the, you know, is the standard that we should all follow at all. But let's just take the examples that you gave. So if we say, what is it that we need? You know, so therefore, dignity, the opportunity to work, the right and ability to feed ourselves and our families, the right to education, and also self-improvement, and social improvement. Do I really need to be able to say what I want when I want? Well, maybe I can try to control myself sometimes. Do I really need to put an X in a box every 4 or 5 years, when there's no guarantee that the X that I put is going to be chosen anyway? Maybe this is something I want as opposed to something that I necessarily need. Now, I'm not anti-democratic, by the way. The concepts of democracy, I think, are valid. And I want to live in a democracy. I want to have the right to say the craziest shit that I want all the time. So, you know, I don't want to come across as somebody who is unappreciative of democracy. But living in a democracy, we can question it. In fact, we have to question, and this is the science element of politics. If you don't question things, it won't improve, nor will our knowledge improve. And a couple of points that you make there, I think, are brilliant. One fact I think is difficult, though, to talk about is freedom, because for me, what freedom is completely different to what freedom might be for you. So freedom is very subjective, in the same way happiness is subjective. Yeah, what is happiness? Okay, I know what makes me happy, but I don't know if that makes you happy, yeah, for example. Secondly, when you talk about the development of a country, democracy doesn't just come. It's not a visitor. It doesn't suddenly arrive in your home. So each country has a slightly different approach, and that approach is very much dictated by the history, by the culture, by the interpretation of the role of government that has developed. And if you take that as a developmental process, you're naturally going to have different kinds of democracies. On the other hand, if you create on an island a new country and say, okay, guys, today we're going to create a democratic republic of this island, what should we do? And then it's a completely different system, isn't it, that you will probably introduce, because there is no tradition or culture pre-existing for you to follow.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You are mentioning now one of the biggest problems democracy is also facing nowadays. And it's related to the very different history and culture and traditions that countries have around the world. And there is one problem, and it's that we are used to see the, let's say, the European, West European democracy as the real one. You know, it's like countries all around the world are trying to be like, I don't know, maybe Germany, Finland, Netherlands, I don't know. The thing is that when you start trying to be like another country, but having a very different history, that's a thing you're not gonna achieve. That's just a struggle that you already lost from the very beginning that you started. And that's why always when I try to analyze all the system, just in seeing, okay, how similar are they to European democracies, or how different are they to European democracies, then I'm forgetting the system. I'm just trying to make a comparison. But if I want to create politics that are good for the country, that are good for the people of the country, I have to understand the people of that country. I have to understand and to analyze the history of that country. But if I come with the idea, hey, that's working in Europe, like, I don't know, 15,000 kilometers away from here, and that's why that's gonna work here, that's not gonna work, at least not in my understanding. And I'm also same as you. I also like democracy and I enjoy living in a democracy. But it's the same thing. I don't know. Imagine I have a disease. Maybe I don't know. I have a headache, and that's why I'm taking some aspirin. And then you tell me, hey, I have also headache, and I'm going to tell you, okay, then take an aspirin. But maybe your headache is not cause of stress. Maybe something really worse. And then you go to the doctor, and maybe you get another medicine. So I cannot try to apply the same medicine for all the world, because then it's that's never gonna work. And, you know, as I was still doing some work at the university, the biggest problem when you are having a country as the example or the goal where that's what you want to achieve, that imagine when you would be like you are coming from another planet, from a planet, I don't know, your planet, and then you meet me. It's like the first human you have seen in the world, right? And then you start to analyze me, to draw me, to see, okay, two arms, two legs, one head, and whatever, two eyes, one nose, one mouth, everything, right? And then, like 2 weeks later, you see the first woman in your life. And then you start drawing everything, and you see it's like a 99% like me. But there are some tiny, tiny changes. And then you come to the idea to say, okay, that's not a woman, that's a defect man, right? Because it's not like me, because for me, it's like and then you're going to start to do everything with that woman so that at some point she can be like me. But no, that's not the way to go. It's just to accept that she's different and she's going to remain different. So don't start to think that that woman is like a defect version of a man or the other way around. So to summarize it, to wrap it up, it's like we cannot have a concept that is applicable for the whole world. I'm a friend of democracy, but I'm a biggest friend of every single country trying to understand themselves, to understand their history, and creating a system without having any pressure of achieving anything. Because I can imagine the biggest problem that countries are facing right now is that they have no idea how to become a democracy. But that shouldn't be the main goal.
Mm-hmm. I think the political analysts, perhaps, or those people who work in the education or the analysis sector will probably be considering that point, how to become a proper democracy. I think the political powers are probably more inclined towards how do we continue to trick people that we are an effective democracy, because all I can see is countries where people are generally discontent, and this isn't simply because of the pandemic or any other individual political difficulties that may exist within the countries, and every country has a political issue. People generally are not looked after by their own political system. I strongly believe that democracies are failing, not democracy as a concept, democracies, as in it's the people who are in government that are failing the system of democracy for the betterment of the people. And this isn't like me exhibiting my crazy socialist beliefs and so on. It's a question of reality. When you have the vast majority of a country who only possess, and again, I'm bringing up economics, even though I said it's got nothing to do with it, who only possess less than a certain percentage of the resources or the wealth of that country, then clearly the direction of that country is not for the people. Because otherwise there'd be a far better distribution of those resources. And by resources, I mean also the ability to buy food, the ability to educate, the ability to go out and find work, find friendships, you know, and essentially live. And this is the problem that I have with democracy, is that at the moment, it's failing the people it's supposed to be built for.
Yeah, absolutely. So well, you know, now I'm remembering one of these very famous quotations from the guy I mentioned before, Giovanni Sartori. He said, like, until the 40s, past century, like, it was very well defined what democracy was, and people were against or for it. But nowadays, nobody knows what democracy is, but everybody's asking for it. And I can imagine, I'm not sure, but I can imagine you're having this typical discussion with yourself that actually, you know, there's a lot of problems, but you're still asking for democracy. And that's a thing that I get this impression very often when talking about democracy. Like, really, people, they are just focused on democracy, but they know actually what they are asking for is something different. Because, for example, what you're telling me, when it's come to being a bit more socialist, to being a bit more to have more equity in terms of being more fair in the distribution of, I don't know, income, property, and so on, the easiest way to achieve that is to erase democracy. And we have enough examples in the history. So the more socialist a country may be, the less democratic it is. So this is just to maybe make it clear how difficult it is to talk about democracy, because it seems to be like this is just like we don't have to talk about it. When we start talking about democracy, we already know it's a good thing. And that's, for me, one of the things that we have to change. We have to say goodbye to this concept or to this behavior that we think that democracy is something good just because it is.
Do you think that, for example, for us, people who have grown up in a country that defines itself as a democracy, have we become like a cult? Are we living in a democracy cult where it's basically like, don't challenge democracy. It's the best that we have. And when somebody says why, that no, there's no system that's better. And that kind of strikes me as a bit of a cult. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's very interesting. I was some minutes ago you mentioned that you love democracy because you have the freedom to tell everything. Mm. And I wouldn't be that sure, because start doing something against democracy and then let me know where is your freedom.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So that's also we are lying to ourselves. So I'm doing exactly the same thing. But it was, for example, one of the problems I had. I was pursuing to have a really great academic career, and I start writing my the proposal for my PhD, and it was very clear. It was asking about the real, I don't know, like the real perks of democracy and why maybe that's not as good as we think and so on. And yeah, I don't know how many doors I knocked. It was maybe like 10 professors, and they all say, dude, that's very interesting and that makes sense, but we are not going to work on it. Because if we start writing about it, then we are not going to get any money, you know? Mm. So this freedom, it's freedom, but the same is, you know, if you are now you have to talk very good about your dictator, it's the same here, but the dictator has no name, it's democracy. Mm. And then here we have the obligation to talk only good stuff about democracy, and we are not allowed to make any criticism on it.
Mm. I mean, there is the oft sort of quoted, I think it's Churchill, but he said democracy isn't perfect, but it's the best thing we've got. I may be paraphrasing here. And I find this has sort of become a way of justifying the system. It's like, yeah, oh, look, even our leaders say it's not perfect. So therefore, you know, they understand it's not great. But it's better than everything else. And we kind of say, oh, because they recognize it too, then that means it's clearly the case. But for me, that quotation actually means, democracy isn't perfect for you, the electorate, the masses, but it's the best thing we, the political elite, have got. Yeah, as in I would separate that. So therefore, it's in my opinion, it's a very clear, distinctive comment with regards to you and us.
Yeah, but I know that. But even if you say that something isn't perfect, this is like a you are telling, okay, we have some tiny mistakes, but I wouldn't be that sure that. Or I ask you, do you think really that this is the best system we ever had? I mean, we have the first problem that we don't really know what democracy is, but let's forget it and we know what it is. What do you really think that's the best system we ever had? I mean, let's take a look at China and what's happening there. They already did per capita, they are already the richest nation in the world without having a democracy. If you see how many people came out of poverty within the past, 10, 20 years, there's no other example in the world in the recent history where a democratic country did something similar to it. So I wouldn't be that sure that we can talk with this very, let's say, common arrogance related to democracy that it is the best system. It is a great system, for sure it is. And there's a lot of perks that we have while living in a democracy. I really like to have this I would say, typical democratic discussions here, for example, in Germany. I enjoy watching a political debate on TV. You know, I enjoy all these TV shows where many politicians for very different parties are invited and they are explaining their ideas and explaining why they think they are right. I really enjoy that. I know that's great, but I wouldn't say that I have enough empirical evidence to be sure that that's the best system.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm confident that the best system is nowhere near being created, even though... Excuse me, I'm sure a lot of intelligent people have already thought of a number of ways of improving the situation that most of us live in. But again, I feel that human diversity is such that on the basis of how different cultures have grown, as you said before, we don't have a one size fits all political system, and we should not try to create a one size fits all political system. On the other hand, I think there must be some way of making certain definitions which we feel are best represented or best represent human need, or at least the minimum requirement of human wish or desire or want. I mean, we mentioned before the freedom of speech. For me, that's almost fundamental. As in, I would not visit a country if freedom of speech was not guaranteed. Yeah. So because I don't want to go somewhere and I'm eating in a restaurant or something, and then I say something, the waiter hears me, and then 10 minutes later I'm in a prison. I don't want to risk anything like that. So I simply wouldn't visit it. So that for me is like a cutoff. But then there are other things that for me are important. For example, equality. And this here, I think, is a big issue because we live in democracies, but we don't have equality either. As in, there's no gender equality, there's no racial equality, and yet we live in a country where supposedly we are equal. So these are the questions that I would ask myself. What are we really trying to do?
Yeah, this is It's a very tough discussion because one of my, I don't know, like the biggest question that I'm always like dealing with, and I really have no answer. The thing is, after, I would say after the Second World War and all this speech about democracy, freedom of speech and so on, and we are all equal and et cetera, I'm not sure if we are a bit exaggerating. And for sure, there are always two things. The first one would be what are we doing right now? How we can define what we are doing and what are we capable or able to do and to achieve? That would be one thing. And the other thing, in a more, let's say, normative way in terms of social science, is more about, okay, how do we want to be? If that would be possible. And these are two very different questions that we are mixing too fast, I would say. Because when I listen to someone telling me, hey, we are equal as humans, we are all equal, we have the same rights and so on, I'm always like, hey, that's nice. And I hope we would be like this, but that's not reality. We have never been equal and we are very far away and we were never close to achieve equality, equity in the world. So the question here would be, what's the best thing? To accept the thing that we are and then start doing something, or just assuming that we are already there? And I guess we had this, for example, with the racism topic. What we are seeing nowadays, maybe also in the past decades, is that there is a clear, I don't know if movement, but there is a clear intention within our society. And when I say our society, I say like a West Europe and West world and the so-called West world, that we think that we are not racist. Just like this, because I'm a good person, I'm a good guy, I have some nice friends, I went to college and I'm educated, so I'm not a racist. Without asking me, am I a racist? And that's very naive and I would say even stupid to think that just because I'm labeling myself as a no racist guy, that doesn't mean I'm not racist. You know? So I have the feeling that many times we are just forgetting the problem and we are just labeling something to attach to our society, to our personality, just to raise the problem. Right? And with the thing of racism is that I was the whole time thinking, no, I'm not a racist because this and that and because argument A and B. But now I have a different opinion. And I know because of the way I grew up, the countries I grew up, the education that I had, the higher education I had here in Europe, it's actually pretty normal that I'm a racist. And now what I'm doing is trying to do every day something like tiny step, so at some point I can really say and being very proud of it that I'm not a racist, right? But what I'm seeing here is that everybody's saying, no, we are not racist. And that's not like not because I say I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. I have to go to university for, I don't know, 6 years and then maybe 4 years in a specialization on top and then go to a hospital. And then maybe after 10, 12 years, I can say I'm a doctor. And I can imagine that's the same thing with racism, with democracy, with so on. That's not like hey, I'm here, I'm cool, that's why I'm a democratic guy, and that's why I'm not racist.
Yeah. I also see, I mean, this is also a similar argument with regards to other kinds of sort of political interpretation. So when we look at people on the right and we talk about maybe Nazis or fascists and so on, people who consider a specific national heritage to be superior to other national heritages, people tend to say, oh, only stupid people can believe that, which in itself is discriminatory. But I mean, people's in a democracy, it's fine to be discriminatory against a political group, which we all, or the majority of Democrats consider to be distasteful, for example, Nazis. So we can all, that one doesn't matter, we can be discriminatory with regards to that. But when we see that some of the people who also comprise that bloc are university educated, some of them are business leaders, some of these people are doctors, or you know, they have responsible positions such as that, we start to think, okay, well, that argument falls apart then, doesn't it? So it's not only stupid people who believe these kinds of things, there are also intelligent people who believe kinds of things. And so therefore, the analysis cannot simply stop at, oh, they're just stupid. No, then we have to go further then. We have to ask ourselves the uncomfortable question, why do people consider themselves superior? What is it that we can do to eradicate that? Because if I say to myself, I'm not racist, and I don't want to deal with racist people, then how are you going to solve the issue if you just push it away?
And I would do exactly the same question to all democracy blind believers. Why do they think that democracy is the best thing in the world? And at some point, I can imagine they start asking questions. And at the end, maybe we have even a better type of democracy. But I think that's always when we stop asking ourselves, why are we doing the things that we are doing, then I think that's exactly the moment when we start being radical. And I think being radical is always a bad idea. And no matter if you think you are a radical good guy or a radical bad guy, for me, being radical, it's something we don't need. And yeah, sure, it's not about being stupid, about being educated or not. It's like, as you have seen now in Germany, like the most or best educated political party in the German political spectrum is the AfD. If you think how many people earned a PhD or master studies and so on, it's by far the best educated party in the country, the AfD. And by the way, it was created by a group of professors here in Germany. And I know that changed quite a bit, but they are still the best educated political party in Germany. And that would be very stupid to say, okay, that's why they are right. For sure, there's a huge discussion and they are doing, very well. They are doing some stuff that are like no way, no go. Like they are crossing many borders and doing some racist stuff. So it's like, that wouldn't be my political party. So that's maybe the best explanation on a real example that the, let's say, the traditional education doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I guess a lot also depends on what kind of institutions you attended, what kind of courses, under which lecturers, which professors, but also your own personal background. So if you are from a wealthy upper middle class family and I'm a poor guy, but we find ourselves in the same lecture, it's possible that you will interpret the lecture in one way and I will interpret it in a different way. And that comes from the basis of our existing status when we walked into the lecture theatre or the lecture room. And that's just how it is, unfortunately. So much of politics is subjective.
Yeah, true.
And you also said two words which I find are difficult to use in politics, good and bad.
Yeah.
Because these don't exist in politics, good and bad. What is good, what is bad?
Yeah, well, in terms of human condition, there's no good and bad. These are just constructions that we made based on experiences and so on. But that would be, I would say another discussion, because, it's like start defining dignity, and that's why that's very difficult. Or as you say at the very beginning, like try to define happiness. But I can say we can start with biological needs. Like, okay, you need to to feed yourself, your family, and so on. And then you can see, okay, with the politics that I'm doing, are people still starving? Are people going out of the poverty line, and so on? And then I can imagine, then we can start saying, okay, that was good, that was bad. Because for sure you need to eat something. That's no option B.
Yeah, and drink something too.
Yeah, sure. Some whiskey. Yeah.
Mm. That'll keep you going. It'll definitely solve some of the democratic problems that we've got. Okay, look, how about this then, Vlad? So let's say that we are both on a desert island, okay? And in the next session that we have, we're going to sit down and plan our political system.
Mm.
Okay? All right. So if you can prepare your sort of top 10 things to organize first, and then I'll have my top 10.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, and then we'll sort of, you know, jump into it and argue why this one here, why that one there. It'll also be interesting to see the different concepts that we have, because I have a feeling that if I have, 10 things, maybe none of those 10 will make your one, or none of them will be in your top 10. So that will make for an interesting discussion in a way that we can progress this, because I'd like to do this series of democratic conversations, because there's, as you say, there's a lot to talk about, and it's not just one or the other.
Yeah, I like the way you say it, because that you like to have this kind of democratic discussions, and I hope at the end of this series of podcasts we start talking about political discussion, and we say goodbye to this old democracy pressure that we are feeling, because I can imagine in your mind you are already preparing like the best democracy, and in my mind I'm trying to prepare for the next session the best political system. You know, so in my mind, democracy is just one thing, and maybe the last thing, and then we can come to an end. For me, democracy is something beautiful, but it's just like a another concept within the political science, within the social sciences. So we don't have to fight because of democracy. We don't have to, if you don't like it, that's for me no reason to say, oh, you are stupid or you are a bad guy because you don't like democracy. For me, just democracy is something that I can like it, and that's also my opinion. But it's fine if you don't like it. It's fine if you find another way. It's fine if you are China. It's fine if you find a better way. So let's do this. I really love the challenge, and I'm very happy to prepare it.
Cool. All right, that sounds like a date then for the next time around, Vlad. And maybe, as you say, we can try to do that in person. I think that'll be nice too.
Yeah, would be great.
Mm, brilliant. All right. In that case, thank you very much, Vlad. It's always insightful speaking with you, especially about these kinds of political issues. I like the you're not a radical, but you're passionate. And I think that has a greater value for me, at least.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me here again. And yeah, as always, it was a real pleasure.
Mike.